Grace to you, mercy, peace, from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, God's suffering servant. We meditate this evening on the greatest of the suffering servant songs of Isaiah. It started in chapter 12 at the end last week and continues in chapter 53 tonight, verses 1 through 3. Again, reading from a draft translation or draft version of the Wartburg Project. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root from dry ground. He had no attractiveness and no majesty. We saw him, but nothing about his appearance made us desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man who knew grief and was intimately acquainted with suffering. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we thought nothing of him. The word of the Lord, we bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, God's suffering servant, my dear fellow redeemed. When Isaiah the prophet, 700 BC, was commissioned by the Lord, he was in the throne room of God, saw those fiery seraphim flying and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." He felt his sin. He cried out in confession. The Lord had one of the fiery angels take a coal from by the throne of God and touch his lips with it, and in a picturesque way say to him, "Your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is atoned for." And then when Isaiah heard the Lord call out, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Isaiah's response was immediate and eager. He said, "Here am I, send me." And this was the Lord's marching orders and message. The Lord said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." How does that sound? Like a successful ministry? The hardening of the people's hearts? More stubborn discontent and rebellion on the part of a rebellious people already? I don't know about you, but if I was Isaiah after the Lord said that, I'd ask the same question. For how long, O Lord? Maybe a couple months wouldn't be too bad. A few years? He answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly destroyed." We all would love to see society turn around and follow the Lord in repentance. I'm sure you pray for our country too, and your neighbors. Pray fervently. I'm convinced the Lord in His mercy continues to preserve us. Because you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, you who trust in Jesus as your Savior. But in Isaiah's time, it would continually go downhill. Another 100 years, Jeremiah the prophet would be weeping in Jerusalem, the city destroyed, the temple burned. Every society, the human condition, gets tremendous blessings from the Lord and fritters them away in rebellion and unbelief, even the people of God. And what are we to do except ask the same question as Isaiah in this servant song tonight? Who has believed God's servant? Have we? Do we look at him and find that he is not attractive? Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah is crying that out at that time, and there were certainly things going on, good reports coming in. I mean, especially if this is toward the end of Hezekiah's reign, good King Hezekiah, following the Lord, encouraging the people, listen to God's word, hear the prophet Isaiah. Hezekiah had had some success. The tunnel had been built in Jerusalem. That's still there. It was a major feat of engineering at the time, and it protected the city from siege by those awful Assyrians, some of the cruelest people that ever lived. Anybody hear stories of atrocities by ISIS coming out of the same area of the world as the ancient Assyrians? Very similar stories back then and now. You did not want to have to fight the Assyrians in the first place, and you certainly did not want to get beaten by them. But all the fortified cities of Israel had fallen by this time. The land was ravaged. And yet the Lord, through his word, kept the people's hope alive. Until finally, Sennacherib, the great king of this evil empire of Assyria, was just really blaspheming the Lord, everything he could say against the Lord, chiseling it in stone. I told you about those stories. The archaeologists have found the things that Sennacherib said, how he was a god, you know, and the Lord was nothing. He sent a message to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, went to Isaiah. The Lord responded. Then Sennacherib sends another letter, and Hezekiah goes up to the temple, spreads it out before the Lord, and says, "What do you think of this?" I've done that at church here before when I've gotten letters in the mail. I'm remembering Hezekiah, and you know, something just, I don't know how to deal with this. You take it and spread it before the Lord. What do you think of this? What should I do? The Lord's answer through Isaiah was classic. The virgin daughter of Israel tosses her head at you. Remember that? It's like, girls can beat you, Sennacherib, for all that you're saying. Just wait. You won't even get close enough here to use your weapons. You won't even shoot an arrow at this place. You will not build siege ramps against the city of God. I don't believe the Assyrian army ever got close. And then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. You imagine losing 185,000 troops overnight by an unseen enemy. When the people got up in the morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. All that was left was for him to go up to the temple of his God and worship, and for two of his sons to kill him, murder him, in the temple of his own idol, and then escape unscathed. So much for the proud king. There were good reports coming. I mean, that is attractive. Did the people forget all the things that the Lord had done with Moses in the Red Sea and the plagues against Egypt all those centuries before? Their history was just packed with miracles from God. Manna in the desert. The River Jordan parting. Remember Jericho when the walls came a-tumbling down? What about our country? Have we forgotten the miracles? Do we not study our history? What about that tornado that came out of nowhere in Washington, D.C. after the British Army had burned the Capitol? They'd never seen a tornado before. 1812. Practically destroyed the British Army. How does that happen? What about that calm Mediterranean Sea sometime during World War II when the Allies had to get across for a major battle and high seas would have ruined the plans? What about that? What about Berg? Mo Berg. Mediocre baseball player, but he loved to be a spy. Fluent in 15 languages. dropped into Norway, met up with the resistant troops, found the factory where Hitler's greatest plans were moving forward for the A-bomb, pointed the bombers in the right direction, and the Royal Air Force took it out. Those things have happened, and there are so many of those stories. You just have to look at them and say, God's people were praying, and God was hearing, and God is merciful, because this country has never been righteous and holy in God's sight and perfect the way it ought to be. Before every major conflict, there have been times of gross immorality and wickedness. And God's discipline comes down, and we pray, God, that we will pay attention and turn to the Lord while there's time. Because God is merciful and gracious. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To the eyes of humans, he's not attractive. Even while Jesus was walking this earth doing all those miracles, he made them look so natural. When he fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, possibly 10, 15,000 people, with a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, that's no myth. He had them sit down, he said the prayer, he started breaking off, and the Creator fed his creatures. But it must have been as natural as serving supper for a Lenten meal like tonight. He just makes it look so easy. And then, after he's done that, he tells people, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Remember that? They want that kind of powerful, attractive, great Messiah that they can all be so proud of. And it's not to be. Because the Lord had promised a suffering servant to be the Messiah and Savior of all people. He grew up before him like a tender plant. That's a sapling or a sucker that grows out on a fruit tree. You cut those off because they're worthless. That's what he looked like. And a root from dry ground, what's that going to produce? You ever plant little trees sometime and then it gets dry and they look just like a little stick out of the ground? You wonder, can that thing ever live and grow? That's what Jesus looked like to people, as a stump of Jesse that got cut off and a little shoot that comes up out of that. He had no attractiveness and no majesty. We saw him, but nothing about his appearance made us desire him. My dear friends, should we be so surprised that people look at Jesus even to this day and just shake their heads and wonder, what's that all about? Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed, is really the clue here, because we could not believe by our own thinking or choosing either, could we? Dead by nature, blind, deaf, even to his own disciples, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. It's only the good Lord with his holy word that turns on the lights for us, so that we can see Jesus in his shame, in his bloody suffering, in his agony, and see in him our beautiful Savior, the very Son of God. But the Lord predicted it for that reason, so that he who would not look attractive at all to human eyes would bring about the glory of God in ways that humans could never ask or imagine. He would put to shame the wisest of human beings. Logic would never be able to go there and figure this out. I always think of that time when Jesus looked up to heaven and it said he was just gushing over with joy. And what he said was, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. For Heavenly Father, that was your good pleasure. He shames the wisdom of the wise. He neutralizes the power of the strong. He comes as God to be worshipped in humble awe and thanks. Who has believed God's servant, despised and rejected as he is? He was despised and rejected by men, a man who knew grief and was intimately acquainted with suffering. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we thought nothing of him. Do we hide our faces from God? Do we despise him? Do we think about him and think nothing of him? What is worry? What is anxiety? What is stress? What is impatience? Except this heart of mine thinking that somehow I have to deal with this, I have to overcome it, and my first thought is always, what am I going to do about this? You know the feeling? That's looking away from him who maybe doesn't have the power to help. Maybe doesn't love you enough. All those ifs and maybes, the sins of our sinful heart. This was a time in Israel's history when the land was just overrun by a foreign army that either stole or destroyed all the harvest for at least 3 years running. Now understand what that would be like. I don't think you can imagine this, but try. So you get a paycheck, let's say every month, and you try to go and cash it, but somebody follows you and forcefully robs you, and the government cannot do a thing about it for at least 36 to 48 months. Can you still trust the Lord? Have you ever suffered something like that? And yet that is what the Israelites were going through at this time. While Isaiah is preaching and Hezekiah is saying, trust the Lord. Hezekiah was not wasting time. He was not sitting on his hands. He fortified everything he could. He used every resource at his disposal. But they had to trust the Lord in order not to quake with fear and just give up. Can you trust the Lord with your time, your talent, your treasure? Can you take it to the Lord in prayer when you're worried? I've sat there many times myself with the bills and the paycheck, and they don't match up, and it's so tempting to go after the bills first before I say thank you to the Lord with the first fruits. And so I just stop at that point and say a prayer. God does not want a sinful, faithless heart just acting out of guilt or stopping because of fear. To take it to the Lord in prayer and confession at that time is to do just what the Lord wants in order for him to create the cheerful givers that show the generosity of the Lord and realize it's not about money. It's not even about your time. It's not really even about your talent. It's all about the heart. It's all about who has believed God's servant. Can we trust him in all the things that he says he will do and all those precious promises that he repeats again and again and all the ways he has proved himself down through the ages? One of the things I love about Isaiah in particular, because he's the evangelist of the Old Testament, is every time these sins are mentioned, everything he comes up with, every sin that you can imagine is somehow isolated in the spotlight of God's judgment. And God threatens his wrath, and he really brings it down on those who reject him. True. But every single one of those sins of mine that's mentioned there is met with the same mercy and the same forgiveness. He says, come now, early in Isaiah, come now. Let's reason together. Think about this. This is the way God wants to reason with you. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. As far as the east is from the west, that's 1000 BC through David. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Worry? Forgiven. covetousness, forgiven. Lust, greed, idolatry, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Forgiven so completely that God Almighty in His grace and mercy says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Have you believed God's servant? I praise God that you have. I praise God for that miracle that I see in rich abundance all around us in children of God, young and old. Not just talking about it, but living it in so many beautiful ways. Christ in you. Christ to this day. Beautiful Savior. Still not attractive to the world, still despised and rejected by men. But you believe, and I believe, for that we are so richly blessed in the God who forgives us all and grants us His grace. God's suffering servant. Amen.